Freemasonry and our founding forefathers, myth versus facts. Did Freemasonry substantially impact the American founding? Numerous current works by the revisionists declare that the overwhelming majority of America's founding forefathers were active members and the leaders of the secret society of Freemasonry. As the founders designed America's governing documents, its governmental seals and symbols, and its capital city, they incorporated Masonic beliefs and symbols throughout. America is therefore supposedly erected on the foundation of Freemasonry. For more than two centuries, distinguished educators, statesmen, presidents, Congress, judges, and courts have declared that America was founded as a Christian nation, and numerous works, both early and modern, have substantiated this declaration. If American Freemasonry is unchristian, and if the vast majority of those who framed our documents were members of this heretical organization, then America could not have been founded as a Christian nation. Furthermore, if the foundations on which the nation was built are ignoble and polluted, then God could no more bless America than he could ancient nations consecrated to Baal, Dagon, or Moloch, or modern nations dedicated to secularism, relativism, statism, hedonism, or materialism. After all, the promise of Scripture is clear and unambiguous. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. There exists no stronger basis for the blessing of the Almighty upon a nation. Now, the plumb line for truth in this, in which I will highlight, will not be the cacophony of modern voices and writings. Rather, it will be the original documents from the founding era. What are Masons? Originally, Masons were the craftsmen who traveled across Europe more than 1,000 years ago, building the cathedrals, the abbeys, the churches, the castles, and other stone buildings. These Masons who journeyed the continents and who actually did the physical stone cutting and stone laying were often members of Masonic lodges. A useful analogy we would be to consider those early Masonic lodges as precursors of today's union halls. The traveling Masons were called Freemasons, a skilled Mason who worked for himself and who was thus free to travel the land practicing his trade. The Freemasons devised a system of secret signs and handshakes that identified them to other Freemasons, serving much the same purpose as they would in today's union card. The non-traveling Masons usually belonged to local Masonic guilds rather than lodges. They lived and worked in one area, ready to do local construction jobs or repairs, and these local Masons were often employed by the traveling Freemasons for their construction projects. Early Masons had 3 degrees based on their experience of the worker. Interestingly, the same 3 levels are still found in many unions today. Novices who entered the craft to learn the trade of stone cutting were called entered apprentices. After several years of apprentice work, they became fellow crafts. Upon finally mastering the trade, they were called Master Masons. Note, up to 99% of today's Freemasons have no idea whatsoever how to construct a stone building. Nevertheless, it is important to know the current claims in order to better understand the heresies in the modern organization. These early Masonic regulations gave charges to the Masons. God and religion were very important, not only because a primary source of their work was cathedrals, but also because most nations had state-established religions. In the area regarding God and religion, the 926 AD constitutions instructed that every Mason shall cultivate brotherly love and the love of God and frequent Holy Church. Additionally, it was required that at every...
Here we go.
Lower the law and you dim the light by which man perceives his guilt. This is a very serious loss to the sinner rather than a gain, for it lessens the likelihood of his conviction and conversion. I say that you have deprived the gospel of its ablest auxiliary, its most powerful weapon, when you have set aside the law of God. You have taken away from it the schoolmaster that is to bring men to Christ. They will never accept grace till they tremble before a just and a holy law. Therefore, the law serves as a most necessary purpose and must not be removed from its place. The law cuts into the core of evil, it reveals the seat of malady, and informs us that the leprosy lies deep within. They must be slain by the law before they can be made alive by the gospel. The Prince of Preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Let me put this into terms that everybody can understand. If you're sick and tired of man's 10,000 commandments, then get back to God's 10 in Christ Jesus.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently, rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Let me kick this off right away, friends. So we had a caller yesterday from Colorado. One of our friends called in, and he was making some good points. And they were some relatively pertinent points, but it was incorrect information. And what we were talking about is who our forefathers were. And I just want to propose to all of you before we get going here. You know, the Bible says that the seed that's sown into the ground is going to reproduce after its own kind. That's common sense. If I again plant a kernel or a corn of wheat into the ground, it's going to reproduce wheat. If I do that with a kernel of corn, it's going to reproduce corn. If I do that, do you understand? If I do that with an apple seed, it's going to reproduce an apple tree. If I put an orange seed in the ground, it's going to reproduce that what? An orange tree. It's going to reproduce after its own kind. Okay, so you look ahead and you see 250 years later, here we are. We have the longest standing constitution in modern history. And what we need to take note of, friends, is only the Lord can do that. Seriously, only the Lord can do that. I do a whole series on just throughout my presentations concerning how many other countries have had to change out their constitutions over and over and over, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times. And yet America, you're still into your first. That is called the mercy of God. That's the mercy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the mercy of our God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to make clear that we're going to be running through some of this stuff and answering some of the questions and the points that were made yesterday on the show, but putting them in proper perspective. And again, this is not a cap on the caller in any sense of the word. No, it's my job to know what I'm talking about, at least do the best that I can to give you information that is correct, countering what it is that we've been told by the propagandists, by the revisionists, by the mainstream media, by the corruption in the halls of government, even by the corruption within the Church of America. Because, friends, when we cover this point today, I do want you to understand that you know where a majority of the propaganda coming out, or should I say a good portion of the propaganda that's coming out to the American people concerning the fact that we are not a Christian nation, are coming from people within the four walls of the church. And yet I've been on this radio program for 25 years. I've been on national radio for 25 years now. We're over at BBS now. So we switched up from Salem Communications, from Genesis Communication Networks to BBS out of Texas. And in saying that, friends, one of the things that I've noticed is for the times that I have highlighted much of what we're going to talk about today, I have never had one person call in and challenge me on the information that I'm going to give you. And you should probably ask yourself why that is. Or in some cases, I have a whole list of people that I've reached out to be on the show that are propagandizing and revising the information that's being bestowed upon us. Folks, probably a little less than 50 to 75 of them, and not a one of them responds. And yet that's their message to the rest of the world is this isn't who we are. We're not a Christian nation. They try to come up with all the excuses, but when they have the opportunity to correct me in front of everybody, they don't do it. They'll just try to set a narrative and cast into the minds of the American people that I don't know what I'm talking about. In fact, I do know what I'm talking about because it's exactly who we are today. It's still found in the books today, and we have inscriptions everywhere, and we have the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his fingerprints all over everything that we are in this country. So without further ado, what I want to do is I want to step into this, okay? One of the things that we've been told is our forefathers, they're just dumb, ignorant men, okay? Outside of the fact that they're not Christians, and I'll get to that in just a moment here. But I want you to understand that there was currently a law professor in Alabama who required his law students to read this book, all of it, and why not, before they can become attorneys. They have to swear an oath to uphold the enumerated laws found within the Constitution. So why not learn the, I'm sorry, guys, it's just some of it's kind of difficult to see. They will swear an oath to uphold the Constitution. So why not learn the enrolled in the graduate level legal studies regularly complain to him about the difficulties of reading that old Federalist Papers book. And that is written for the common average upstate New York farmer of 1787. And he said, perhaps someday you'll be a graduate student and you'll be able to attain the educational level of those early New York farmers. In other words, he was mocking the revisionist because his students in law school couldn't even understand what it was concerning our forefathers were bestowing upon them because they were so enlightened and they were so educated. Did you hear what I said? Folks, let me say it this way. I got a Webster's 1828 right behind me. It's a dictionary. By the way, 1950 and newer, your words are being completely revised. They're completely reversed. They're inverted. And folks, white is now black and black is now white. They've been doing this for a long time. That's why you have to go back, like the Lord said, to the old past and seek out who we are and where it is that we came from so we know where we're going, right? And I continuously reiterate that point. But going back to my Webster's Dictionary, do you know that when you open the Webster's Dictionary, Noah Webster wrote that? Do you know that when you open the first page, there's a picture of Noah Webster right there? And you know what it says right under him, uneducated ones, to whom I'm speaking? And to those that are educated, of course, you know what it says? Noah Webster, who taught millions to read and not one to sin. Not one to transgress God's moral law. Isn't that interesting? He also wrote a Bible. He translated the Bible, and it's called the Noah Webster Bible as well. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. But again, friends, if you want to understand who our forefathers were, you better get a Webster's 1828 and start looking up the words when our forefathers, who, by the way, many of them weren't even graduated from what you would call high school today. George Washington didn't even finish what they call the eighth grade today. But when you read his writings, friends, he was an intellectual giant. He was blessed of God on so many different levels. And I think over the next hour here, friends, you're going to understand that what we think we are, folks, is not at all, at least what we've been told by the revisionists and the propagandists. The opposite is true. Today, they want you to believe that they're smarter than our forefathers. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you want to call in, 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hello, my name is Ron Bransner with the American Policy Center. And we are on the front lines combating that global movement of the Green New Deal scam. Our partnerships with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty Radio have elevated our message with a secure relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So please join us in our efforts and listen to the Sons of Liberty Radio and Bradley Dean. Our message is your future. Thank you.
BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Now, concerning the Second Amendment, to ban guns because criminals use them is to tell the law-abiding that their rights and liberties depend not on their own conduct, but on the conduct of the guilty and the lawless. Lysander Spooner. Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Cooper, United States Marine Corps, rightly stated, "If violent crime is to be curbed, it is only the intended victim who can do it. The felon does not fear the police, and he fears neither judge nor jury. Therefore, what he must be taught is to fear his victim." We must not only assert the truth, we must attack the evil and the false. Martin Lloyd Jones. Was not Leonardo da Vinci correct when he said, "Not to punish evil is equivalent to authorizing it"? Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. 281-845-4704. Wanted to give you a heads up. We're going to be in Florida in July. Looks like we're going into, in June. And then we just got picked up in Tennessee in July. We got an event coming up next month in Monticello, Minnesota here. And we got one more opening. So as I said, friends, it's going to come quick. If you'd like to book us, now's the time to do it. That number is 1-866-233-0747. 866-233-0747. Now, I want to get over to another point our caller made yesterday because, again, I love those kind of calls. And I know it was well-intended, and there were some good points that he was making, but I want to straighten the record out is what I want to do. And, you know, people, again, if you're just joining us now, I was making the point during the first segment that, you know, the seeds that are planted are going to reproduce after their own kind. That's what Scripture tells us. Okay, and I use the analogy of using a weed corn, dropping it into the ground. It's going to reproduce after its own kind. It's going to be a wheat field. Same thing with an apple seed. Same thing with an orange tree. The list goes on. And it's the same thing, spiritually speaking, as concerning the seeds that our forefathers sowed. And so people are told by revisionists, they're being told by the propagandists and the communist professors that they're paying, that they're indebting the students with to propagandize them in colleges across the country. They're lying to the people. They're absolutely. Why are they warring against our Christian constitutional republic? That should tell you right there what the problem is. They hate law. See, they don't want anybody telling them how they're supposed to live their lives, namely from the Creator. So what they want to do is they want to create a state or a country or a government that looks and acts just like them. That is until they didn't get for what they bargained for. They lied. Well, they allowed the liars to sow the seed of lying, and they reaped what? The lies from the propagandists, and namely the tyrants that want to dictate their lives, the communists through a totalitarian system of government. That's not at all what our forefathers established. Just the opposite concerning what you're seeing come out of Washington, D.C., and out of the halls of government today, and even within the Church of America today, friends, if you want to call that. And I'm talking about the man-made church. So let's go back and give you the facts concerning, again, the facts of the matter. I have to highlight this, okay? So some of this stuff is kind of hard to see. But your forefathers, 28 of them were Episcopalians. That's under the denomination or under the umbrella of what? The Christian faith. Then we have 8 Presbyterians. That's under what? The umbrella of the Christian faith, is it not? Then we had 7 Congregationalists. And then we have of the Christian faith. Then we had 2 Dutch Reformed. That's the Christian faith. Then we had 2 Lutherans. That is the Christian faith. Then we have 2 Methodists. And then we have 2 Roman Catholics, which it declares that it is under the umbrella of the Christian faith. And then we have 1 unknown. And isn't it interesting that we have 1 unknown, but it also reverts back to the point that nobody can substantiate to say that any of our forefathers were in any sense of the word deists. That's what they like to revert to. Or Masons, the modern day version of what a Mason is. And I'll get to that in just a moment. No, friends, just the opposite is true. Let me just go show you something really quick. Did you know that first graders in schools in America, they were asked questions like, what's the fifth commandment? What's required in the fifth commandment? What's forbidden in the fifth commandment? That's honor your father and your mother, you know, hold them in high esteem. It's the fifth commandment, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, Romans 13, and the list goes on. And it also talks about it in Ephesians 6, 1 as well. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? Oh, I'm not done yet, folks. Also, the lesson books that our forefathers established in schools of the day during the founding era. Character of Jesus Christ, number 1. Number 2, the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Number 3, extract from the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, let me stop for a moment. Does that sound like a bunch of Satan worshipers, occultists, actually founded this country, friends? Well, I'm not done yet. Solomon's wise choice, that's number 4. This was taught in lesson books in the first grade. The goodness of God, that's number 5. Number 6, gospel invitation. 7, Christian light and hope. 8, awake Zion, right? Not talking about which that's equated to today neither. And number 9 is on prayer. I mean, this is crazy. Here, let me go back and revert to something because, I really love this topic. I want to show you how stupid and dense our forefathers weren't. Okay, you ready for this? Did you know that Charles Carroll, signer of the Declaration of Independence, did you know that he entered college at the age of 10 years old? Did you also know that many of our founding forefathers held themselves back not to embarrass other students? That's not a joke. That's a fact. Here's another one. Fisher Ames, he entered. He's the architect of the First Amendment along with George Washington. He entered Harvard at the age of, you ready for this? 12 years old. Man, they were just stupid idiots. And I'm not talking about the modernized version of an education system as to what you see in colleges today, friends. Nope, our forefathers stood against it, and it was head and shoulders. They stood on a mountain of information concerning their intellect compared to what you see the revisionists and the propagandists try to convey unto you through their deceptive measures. Here's another one. What about Benjamin Rush? Did you know that he graduated Princeton at 14 years old? Oh my goodness, folks. You can't make it up. Did you know that John Trumbull, he was a law student under John Adams. He was a justice on the Supreme Court in Connecticut. He read through the Bible at age 4. And he beat a minister in a Greek contest at the age of 6 years old. Man, they were some serious ignorant individuals, weren't they? Just stupid as could be. Not at all. Not at all. You know what? As a matter of fact, you know, my kids, all of them were homeschooled. And I'm saying that for the purpose that even when they graduated, you know what my kids understood? That there's no achievement in getting your degree from what the standard is today because it's been brought down so low. My kids always knew, and they always will know, that they have to exceed what's expected of them concerning what they call the educational system today. Friends, do your kids a favor and raise the bar so that they might rise to the level of expectation, not to be just like everybody else. When you're okay that your kids are just like anybody else, what you've taken on is the system of the federal government who means to dummy them down, to indoctrinate them, and to shoot for the floor rather than the stars, because communists want everybody to be just like everybody else. Don't teach your kids that, folks. That why? Because that's not what America is made out of. That's not at all what the America that we know today is made out of in any sense of the word. Let me go on here. John Trumbull passed Yale entrance at his exam at the age... No joke. It's embarrassing. 7.5 years old. The parents held him out of college until he was 13 years old, lest he should embarrass others. What about John Quincy Adams? Man, that guy was thrown into it by his dad and his mom. And I'm sure there was a whole lot of reluctance to it. But John Quincy Adams, the 6th president of the United States of America, his dad was my favorite president of the United States of America, because without that prophet and without that colossus of independence, Thomas Jefferson said John Adams was a colossus of independence, both on the floor and off the floor, fighting for our independence. So in other words, my friends, if it wasn't for John Adams, me and you would not be here right now. Now, you want to talk about predestination and election? You have it right there. Because when you look at every one of these forefathers, every single one of them, of the 56 that we had, that we know of, you better understand that they were divinely handpicked to do exactly what it was that they did to give unto us what it is that we have today. Just ask John Adams. Here, I want you to listen to what John Adams said. Did you know that at the end of his life, he said, this is the 2nd president of the United States of America. He said, posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation. He's showing you that there was a price to the freedoms that we have today, and he wanted us to know it. He said again, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve the freedoms that we have today. He said, I will hope that you will make a good use of it. John Adams said, if you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. Friends, every one of them forefathers could have parroted the same exact sentiment. Every single one of them. Andrew Jackson, let's go back over to him. 7th president of the United States of America. I'm going to shame some more of our critics in just a moment. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Again, we'll be right back after this break.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So, don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Struggling to awaken the woke? Can't seem to cut through their brainwashing? Do you have friends and loved ones who fall in prey to the liberal leftist talking points? Perhaps someone deeply indoctrinated by communist college professors? Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that'll give you the ammo you need to make your point, with truth they can't deny. But warning, it may make them cry. Sign up now at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hey folks, this is State Representative Ben Davis. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, and here in Minnesota, we're taking a stand. From the airwaves to the state capitol, we're fighting to defend our God-given liberties and restore biblical constitutional principles. Join Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty radio broadcast Monday through Saturday at 2 p.m. Central as he exposes the truth, calls out tyranny, and rallies patriots to action. Visit sonsoflibertyradio.com to listen now.
President Theodore Roosevelt said to announce that there must be no criticism of the president or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but it is morally treasonable to the American public. Nothing but the truth should be spoken about him or anyone else. But it is even more important to tell the truth, pleasant or unpleasant, about him than about anyone else. How right J.C. Ryle was. A true Christian is one who has not only peace of conscience, but war within. He may be known by his warfare as well as by his peace. Martin Luther couldn't have made the gospel any clearer when he said, "Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am your sin. You took on you what was mine, yet set on me what was yours. You became what you are not, that I might become what I was not."
BBSradio.com.
Okay. I'm just doing my job, friends. You know, it tells us in Malachi 2:6 that we are to have the law of truth in our mouths. And folks, that's exactly what we're shaming the critics right now. And where are they? 281-845-4704. Their silence speaks volumes, friends. 281-845-4704. You guys have heard Woodrow Wilson say it. He said, "America was born a Christian nation." He said, "America was born to exemplify the devotion to the elements of righteousness, which are derived from the revelation of Holy Scripture." I wish he would have practiced what he preached. But then he said, we're trying to do a futile thing if we don't know where we came from or what we've been about. How do people expect to stay in line if they don't know from which the road they came from and what was forged for them by their forefathers? Folks, you've been given much, as I said yesterday. I'm going to go on here a couple more, highlighting our forefathers and just showing you how ignorant they weren't as to how the revisionist and the propagandist, they want you to believe that, listen, that old system of government just doesn't work. No, the problem is the American people not knowing the old system of government, not knowing where they came from, and allowing the propagandist and the revisionist to rewrite their history. That's what communists do. And Americans, you should know way better than that. If any country, you are the light of the world. You are called the light of the world by the world people. There's only one reason for that, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Andrew Jackson. You ready for this one? Andrew Jackson, the 7th president of the United States. I do a whole documentary just on his salvation, how he got saved, because people love to talk about how bad he is or was. Well, you know what? My salvation in what I came from, in what I was saved from, what that does is it highlights how great of a savior that I serve. And so when we look at the likes of an Andrew Jackson, go ahead and highlight all of his crimes. Go ahead, highlight all of his sins. He'll be the first one to tell you that he's guilty as H-E double hockey sticks. But you know the difference between him and most? He repented. He repented of his sins, and he brought forth fruits of repentance. Matthew 3:8, and so should you before you point the finger. Now, again, I want you to catch what I just said, because when I talk about my testimony, friends, I can tell people how bad of a sinner I was, but the worst that I tell the people and how bad it was that I was of a sinner, do you not understand that I'm showing you how bad I was? And when I do that, I'm magnifying how good he is. Do you get that? That's what he came into the world to do, friends. Is to save us from our sin and then to set us as he builds us up, the Father in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost, and he sets us on his road and he gets us out there. See, because the redemptive, you know what the redemptive people do? They do redemptive work, and that's what we do, Isaiah 58:12. And then he sets us about to glorify his Son, not because of our will, not the will of the flesh, but the will of the Spirit, Malachi 3:6. Okay? So again, I just wanted to highlight the fact that we're talking about Andrew Jackson. The guy at the end of his life said, the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. Did he know what he was talking about? Absolutely. Did you know that in the, at the age of 12 years old, did you know that Andrew Jackson was a soldier in the American Revolution? You know, in America today, somehow or another, you got to be 25, 30, 35 years old. Isn't it funny how when you look at parents today, their kids get in trouble at 25, 30, 35 years old, 40, 45 years old. That is not an exaggeration. Oh, you know, they're still kids. Really? Do you think they'd be acting like that if they had to do what our forefathers did for us at the age of 12 years old? Absolutely not. I get so tired of hearing about that. Oh, you know, he's 25, he's 45 years old, still living with his mom, still a loser because he's too lazy to get up. And it's a reflection of what the parents tolerate. After all, it's their home that he resides in. And he doesn't. It's like, do you notice in the Bible, and do you notice how animals can teach us? And I say this as a detriment to the character of those that don't take the time to know the difference. You notice how animals will teach us, like an eagle? That when it's time for that eagle, when it comes out of its nest and it's nurtured and it begins to grow its talons, its feathers, there's a time where mama says, you got to go, and she kicks him out of the nest. Why? To hurt him? Absolutely not. And I know we're prophetically talking to some people right now. It's not to hurt him. It's to get those wings working so that they can go out, because mama and daddy are not going to be around for the rest of that baby eaglet's life, is it? No. So what are they doing? They're teaching them nature's course. And so it is with us. But I am tired of listening. I am tired of watching people. Oh, well, they haven't grown up yet. Well, you know what? Our forefathers had to grow up. And I was just highlighting none other than John Quincy Adams a moment ago. That kid was 14 years old, and he was sent by his dad to do his duty, and he chose to do it. He went into what now is known as Russia at 14 years old as an ambassador. 14 years old. 14 years old. Shame on us. There's no excuse. Well, you know, it's like, man, I don't know how they ever did that. They had to learn it. They chose to learn it. And they made the right choice because they were led to know it and to do it by the Spirit of God. And because of it, we're talking about them today. And because of what they did, we're here still to talk about it. And I don't want that to go away. Do you? Then if we don't, then we better practice what we preach the same way that they did. John Quincy Adams, sixth president, performed drills with Minutemen at 8 years old. Did you also know that during the time the British were on the shores of Boston, did you know that Abigail Adams, while John Adams was over in France and over in England and over in different parts of the world trying to kick for some diplomatic efforts, if you want to call it that way, he was a very black and white kind of a guy. But did you know that his wife was at home taking care of all the kids and they could hear the cannon fire from their home? As a matter of fact, when that cannon fire would go off, they would feel their homes shake. That's why John Quincy Adams, oh, and it wasn't just him, it was also his mama. Abigail was one that needed to be reckoned with as well because she wasn't playing. But let's talk about John. John said, she was the one, by the way, that said, all honor lies on the battlefield of action. She's exactly right. But John performed drills with Minutemen at 8 years old, as did the colonies, by the way. Received a congressional appointment to be the secretary ambassador to the court of Catherine, the Great of what we know as Russia today, at 14 years old. What about William Livingston? He was a signer of the Constitution. Did you know that he lived as a missionary to Indians at the age of 14 years old? So don't sit there and tell me about what our forefathers did to the likes of the Native Americans. In just to kill all of it, you know, what side of the aisle are you on? I'm on the Lord's side. And if you read Deuteronomy 9, you know what? Verse 5, it tells you he's the one that makes the choice. And he takes wicked nations before the people he so chooses, and he drives out those wicked nations from before those people that he chooses. And he also reminds those that he chose, it's not for their righteousness did he do it, but because of the wickedness of those nations. Do you understand? Do you understand? He's the one that makes that call. We look at James Ivedell, Supreme Court Justice, appointed to public office in North Carolina to oversee finances. Again, it's just so shameful. It really is. As compared to the scales in which we see today in America, he was 17 years old. 17 years old. Monk calling in from Colorado. Thanks for calling. Totally appreciate you, guy. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you?
Thanks for the opportunity. I just want to say something about this 47-year war that's been going on, started by Iran. That's a lie. That was a false flag.
What are we talking about?
The bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut.
Okay, Monk, I'm sorry, guy. We're not talking about that right now. I want to stick to the topic. It's an important that we do. And you had some feedback coming in as well. Sorry about that. Let's go over to John Adams really quick. Again, the second president. He said, listen carefully, Americans. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. The general principles of Christianity. He said, now will I avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were, are as eternal and immutable, which means unchangeable, at the existence and attributes of God. What about our courts during that particular time? Did you know that even going back up to 1854, and I'm saying up to from where our forefathers started in the 1700s? If you go to 1854, did you know that the U.S. Congress said had the people during the War of Independence had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity the way that you tolerate it today, Americans? He said that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. And then they go on and say, at the time of the adoption of the Constitution and the amendments, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged, but not anyone, listen to me carefully, freedom of religion, people, so you can understand the purpose of freedom of religion. It fell under the umbrella of the Christian denominations, not world face coming over here and trying to establish their foreign gods within the courts of our government the way that they are today. You're sadly mistaken. Friends, sadly mistaken. Freedom of religion falls under the umbrella of the Christian faith. Foreigners are afforded to come over here. They are afforded asylum, but to succumb and to adopt. It's called assimilation under the ways of the God that established and bestowed his blessings upon this nation. Oh, I wish people would think. I really do. Any questions? John said this was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. That's me and you. We'll be right back. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble, our churches, our families. We need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
In a world filled with compromise and those who cower from speaking the truth, listening to Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty is a breath of fresh air in a day and age when you are searching for someone to just tell it like it is. If you are ready to hear the unadulterated truth from the Word of God that will feed your soul, open your eyes, give you understanding, and turn your heart to the Father, if you are ready to take a stand and realize your duty before God and man to preserve the freedom so graciously bestowed upon us by God Almighty and our founding forefathers, if you're ready to set aside the counterfeit and embrace the real, then join us weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for an encounter that will enlighten your understanding and point you directly to Jesus Christ, the everlasting light.
Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. It's interesting, folks. I'm looking at my feed right now. I'm trying to get over a link to you. And Rumble's saying I've already linked that to you. No, I didn't. I guess they're going to be another one. Once the door's open, we're going in for it. But I just posted it on your... And I'm doing something I don't necessarily do. But I do want you to look on the right side on the live chat, as well as the Facebook outlet. And I just posted what I'm going to highlight right now. And so what I want to highlight, and I'm going back to some of the conversations that I was having, or a conversation I was having yesterday with a friend of ours that called in from Colorado, and he made some really good points, but they weren't correct. It's what we've been told. And of course, that's why we're here. So it's, again, it's not a backhand. It's just, listen, we're correcting. We're giving you the facts here. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that you're equipped. And so in saying that, friends, I want you to go ahead. I'm going to play some audio video, sonsoflibertymedia.com, beforeitsnews.com. And one of the conversation, or during that conversation, one of the things that was brought up is our forefathers were occultists. They were Masons. Well, if you remember right, Albert Mackey, that devil who's now in hell where he belongs, Luke 16, and also his buddy Albert Pike, he's the one that said, the Masons of today, this was in 1854 he said it, the Masons of today are not at all the Masons of our forefathers. Well, the problem that we're having is most people, if I just stop there, will say, okay, so our forefathers were Masons. I'm here to tell you no. I'm here to tell you no. I'm here to tell you our forefathers, if you want to equate it to stolen valor, it's exactly what's taking place. See, with these modern-day cultists, devil worshipers, Masons of today, which were not at all of our forefathers, what have they done? They have taken the patriot, the heroic, and I'm talking about our forefathers, and they've taken their jackets off of those heroic patriots, our forefathers, and they put it on themselves. That's how they've hijacked it. It's not true. And I want you to listen carefully to this, because this is during a documentary I did, and it's about an hour and a half. I spent an hour and 20 minutes. I spent 3 months just on this, and it is very well, it's well worth your time and your viewership to understand, again, that you're being totally lied to, okay? So let's not go ahead and parrot the lie and spread the lie, promulgate the lie, so other people believe the lie, because it's not true. Listen to this. Today's pop culture information about the founders and Masonry is completely bogus. Let's take John and Samuel Adams for an example. Masonic tradition has persistently claimed both Samuel Adams and his second cousin John Adams as members of the fraternity. Neither of the Adamses was a Mason, and this is the conclusion of the authorities of the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts. John Adams' own private writings declare that he was never a Mason. In fact, John Adams is quoted as saying, "I am not, never was, and never shall be a Freemason." And his son, John Quincy Adams, even provided a detailed explanation of the reason why his father never entered the Masonic organization. What of the father of the Constitution, James Madison? No information has as yet been located which would indicate even possible membership in the Masonic fraternity. And why have Masonic scholars been unable to locate any such information? Because James Madison himself had resoundingly declared, "I never was a Mason," and no one perhaps could be more a stranger to the principles, rights, and fruits of this institution. Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, he was not a Freemason. No mention of fraternity Masonry appears in the millions of words he wrote, which are in fact in print. Strict search has uncovered absolutely no evidence. What of Alexander Hamilton? There's no evidence of his activity. No evidence, friends. With the Masonic fraternity. Charles Carroll, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, definitely was not a Freemason, despite the claims made in the movie National Treasure. In fact, MSA emphatically states Charles Carroll was not a member of the fraternity. Other assurances also exist of Carroll's non-involvement with the Freemasonry. Masonic Scholars Association also asserts that John Jay was never a Mason. There are dozens of similar examples of founding fathers who today have wrongly been associated with Freemasonry. Is this to say that none of the founding forefathers... Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the next point, because I'm going to go to the most famous one, and that just happens to be that of George Washington, who, if you go online right now, the president of the United States of America, right, the first that we know of, right? It's interesting to take note that he's equated as a Mason with all of his clown garb on. And folks, it's not true. It never took place. And so therefore, I want you to check this. This is from a piece on sonsoflibertymedia.com. It's one of the documentaries. I have about 200 videos posted to educate people and bringing about the answers concerning what it is that we've been led to believe, which are just not true. And it's called American Founding Forefathers Were Occultists. That's what I named it. And then I put, who told you that? Because that's what you have to question, because the burden of proof is on them. Because once we begin to show you that there's no evidence, you have to ask those that told you that they were, where is it that they found evidence that they were Masons? They can't produce it. Oh, folks, if you had learned that with the politicians today, can you show me in the Constitution where you were delegated that authority, or where you have provision in the Constitution to do the things that you're doing? See, the burden of proof falls to them, not to us. But going back to this, I want you to listen to this. This is an interaction that George Washington had with somebody that basically claimed that he was a Mason. Listen to what he says. Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robinson, which gives a full account of Society of Freemasons that distinguishes itself by the name of Illuminati, whose plan is to overturn all government and religion, even in natural, and who endeavor to eradicate every idea of a supreme being and distinguished man from beast by his shape only. A thought suggested itself to me that some of the lodges in the United States might have caught the infection. Upon serious reflection, I was led to think that it might be within your power to prevent the horrid plan from corrupting the brethren of the English Lodge over which you preside. Okay, so you have Reverend G.W. Snyder basically addressing George Washington as one that oversees a lodge, as a Mason. This was on August 22nd of 1798. Now listen to the response from George Washington, because again, this is a letter written to George Washington, August 22nd, 1798. Let's listen to the response. This letter by Reverend Snyder, in which Snyder enclosed a copy of Robinson's work for Washington's perusal, initiated a sequence of correspondence between the two. A month after receiving the letter, Washington responded to Snyder. I have heard much of the nefarious and dangerous plan and doctrines of the Illuminati, but never saw the book until you were pleased to send it to me. Thanks for your kind wishes and favorable sentiments, except to correct an error you have run into of my presiding over the English lodges in this country. The fact is, I preside over none. Nor have I been in one more than once or twice within the last 30 years. I believe now is standing that none of the lodges in this country are contaminated with the principles ascribed to the Society of the Illuminati. With respect, I am, sir, your obedient, humble servant, George Washington. Okay, so wait a second. So George Washington is saying that he never presided over the top of any Mason organization. He said that he went to Mason Lodge meetings twice in 30 years. Remember what Masons were then. They were stonecutters, right? And I didn't say this. Albert Pike said it. Albert Mackey said it. These are not the same as what we are today. They've hijacked it. It's stolen valor, per se, again, as I said earlier. But remember what a Mason is. They're architects. They're the ones that build the abbeys. They're the ones that build the cathedrals, right? That's what they do. That's what a Mason does. And the Freemasons were those that were on the same continent that would help local Masons. And when they would be done working, friends, they would go to the lodge where they would listen to a local preacher preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I think it's important that we all understand, folks, how much of our history has been revised. As a matter of fact, I even thinking about today's show and the content that we would be talking about, I also have in a magazine that when I first got saved, that was one of the first things that I noticed, is that dictionaries 50 years and older don't look up the definitions, friends, because they're watered down. But I'm not saying not to do it in the sense of don't cross-check me. I'm saying cross-check what I'm telling you, but make sure that you and your family get correct definitions to the words, because they've been completely watered down and revised, friends. And in some cases, the definements are exactly the opposite of what they were 100 years ago. So we love you enough to take the time to show you the truth of the matter. Totally appreciated that phone call coming in. You got me thinking concerning what it is that the people need to hear. So with that said, we'll talk to you from 1 to 3 tomorrow, Central Standard Time. Love you by what we do. See ya.